Today's opening tip, Dwayne Wade stumbling upon a marriage proposal while walking along the beach here in L.A. She said yes, not to Dwayne, he's spoken for, but per Dwayne and Cabby, they're invited to the wedding, right? They got to pull up. You got to go, right?
They got to. They
have
got to
go.
You got to love D-Wade. Got to love him.
This was so
just
nice.
A good guy.
They I made love that. Just spreading the love, spreading the happiness. Nice, by the way, to see marriage proposal in 2020. We need more good things in 2020 because the deficit is really, it's a lot. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside ESPN senior NBA writer Zach Lowe. He's the guy over there on the end of your screen. And Kendrick Perkins is the NBA champ in the middle of your screen, just in case you're confused about who is who. Coming up, former Warrior Mo Spates threw some shade on LeBron's name. He reposted a meme comparing LeBron's finals record to MJ's. Perk, it's going to shock you. He is not thrilled about this, so stick around to find out a little bit more about what we're talking about. First, though, thanks to yesterday's Woj bomb, we now know who will lead the Clippers on the sidelines next season. Ty Lue has agreed to a 5-year deal with the franchise. Lue, of course, spent last season as the lead assistant under Doc Rivers, who is now in Philly. And so Ty, intimately familiar with some of the chemistry issues we saw surface throughout the season and postseason. And we got some additional details of those problems in a report in The Athletic. Teammates being rubbed the wrong way, believing Kawhi was getting preferential treatment, like being able to live in San Diego or the games he took off for load management. So, Kendrick, Kawhi, unquestionably the best player on that team. Do you think he was able to be the on-court leader of the Clippers last season with just sort of the chemistry and the issues in the locker room? And do you think that he can be that leader moving forward, or he should be?
Well, first of all, Rachel, who is complaining about Kawhi Leonard getting special treatment? Look, I played 14 seasons in the NBA, and I played with a lot of Hall of Famers, and all of them got special treatment. It's part of being a franchise player. It's part of getting paid the big bucks. You got to deal with it. Long as they deliver on the court, that's one thing. Second of all, they don't have a leader. The Clippers do not have a leader. Kawhi Leonard is not a guy that speaks out vocally and talks about it. He just goes out there and performs and does his job. And if I'm the Clippers, I would really, really consider trying to get at Rajon Rondo. They do need a leader. They need a voice in that locker room that's going to hold guys accountable. It's only so much you could do as a coaching staff and as a head coach. You need a guy that's going to hold guys accountable, that's going to say the right things in the locker room, and that's going to lose themselves in the team and lead by example and preach the gospel day in and day out and make sure guys don't have a hidden agenda. So right now, the Clippers do not have a leader, and that's part of their problem.
I agree with Perk. I mean, I do think it's tempting to sort of assume that guys will always be who they are and Kawhi's quiet and Paul George isn't a leader. Who knows? Maybe this season, maybe the humbling, maybe the embarrassment of what happened to them against Denver, maybe those guys make changes. They're only 29, 30 years old. We shouldn't just assume static personalities. But right now, Perk is right. I think as great a leader as Kawhi is by example, and several players there have told me, wow, we couldn't believe the work this guy puts in day to day. Just watching him was important for us. Ty Lue is the closest thing to have to a personality now who's going to galvanize the locker room, because you know you're going to get to the playoffs, you're going to get punched in the face, and you're going to need someone to have uncomfortable conversations to get people right. They when they got punched in the face by Denver, they just fell flat on the canvas and never got up. So right now it's Ty Lue, but I'm interested to see how those two guys maybe can grow into it. It's the second year. They really barely played together in the first year, so I'm not sort of just going to pigeonhole them as what they are now forever.
What do you think of Perk's assessment that they should go after Rajon Rondo?
I think he would help their team. The playoff Rondo is clearly a thing. He's probably more likely to go back to the Lakers, and they don't have any cap space really to get him, so we'll see what happens. But certainly a veteran guy who has the respect of Kawhi and Paul George, who is vocal, who will talk in film sessions, who will point out rotations and this and that, anybody like that would be useful for sure.
We talk about, like, who's the heart and soul of a team, right? It's not always the best player. Perk, is it a little more complicated on a team where a guy like Patrick Beverley is so outspoken? And in a lot of ways, the season before last represented who the Clippers were, right? That feistiness, the performance that he put on against the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs that year. What are the sort of complexities in a locker room? And by the way, the Clippers are not the only team we've seen this with, where your most vocal player, the most sort of feisty and sort of energy player, is not your best player.
Right, and look, just, and I love Patrick Beverley, and I strongly believe the tenacity that he brings to that team, he gives them swagger, but that don't make him a leader because he never been to the promised land. He never won a championship, so he don't know what it takes to get there. And being a leader, you have to be able to adjust. You have to handle everyone differently. And I say this all the time, just because you're the star player doesn't make you the leader of that locker room. I've been on plenty of locker rooms, especially in 2008, where James Posey was our leader. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that was doing majority of the talking. And so you live and you learn. And I think Patrick Beverley, especially in this past season when he was in the bubble, he have learned from his mistakes of walking that fine line of talking noise and actually being a real leader. And I think he will adjust. I love him, but they need a leader, Rachel. They need a leader in that locker room.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love the way Pat Beverly goes about his business. I think maybe not so much on the engaging Damian Lillard again. I wouldn't necessarily advise that. But I do want him to still be Pat Bev, because we are a better league and a more fun league with him being who he is. Zach, there's always questions when an assistant coach takes over for the guy who just got let go. We did see Ty Lue make some significant changes to the Cavaliers when he took over for David Blatt, even though he was on Blatt's staff. But it feels a little different this time. I mean, Doc Rivers really has mentored Ty Lue through his entire coaching career. So what differences do you think we can expect to really see with Ty Lue at the helm versus Doc?
Yeah, there's still room for a lot of changes. I mean, the Clippers are still a brand new team. They were still learning each other when the season stopped last year. And I think Ty Lue, you know, he has a reputation as sort of a guy who gets in people's faces, and he held LeBron accountable. I think that stuff has overshadowed how smart a tactical coach he is. And I think you're going to see him experiment more with lineups that maybe Doc didn't use as much, for good or for bad. Maybe some of them won't work, maybe some of them will. I think they'll shoot more threes. I think they'll play smaller more, sometimes without a traditional center. I think he'll experiment with some more kind of adventurous defensive schemes and use next season to see what sticks, to prepare them to pivot from one scheme to another in a playoff series that demands it. I think Ty's a really underrated tactical coach.
Not on this show, I would say, Zach. We are always talking about his X and O's. Perk, you and I talk about this all the time, right? I mean, it's why, frankly, I thought that Houston would be lucky to get him, because they needed some more imaginative thinking on the court. What do you expect from the X and O angle from Ty in L.A.?
Well, see, a lot of people don't realize, and they discredit him because he coached LeBron James. But behind the scenes, Rachel, this guy is a stud. Ty Lue don't sleep. He's a film watcher. He's a student of the game. He holds guys accountable, like Zach said, especially in the film room and in practices. You don't see too many emotions out of Ty Lue during the game, because he always lived by the motto of, practices are for coaches, games are for players. But he's going to hold guys accountable, and he also is able to relate to guys. Like, this is a team that needed a different voice. No knock on Doc Rivers, but they needed this young blood in Ty Lue that's going to be able to relate to them on and off the court. And this is why I say this is a players' league, because if anyone has any doubt that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George didn't have a say in this Ty Lue hiring, they're in denial, because players, franchise players, have a say in who they want.
Of course.
And I think Ty Lue voicing his opinion while he was an associate head coach played a huge part in this hiring and Doc firing.
And Ty's range of experience, who he's played with, who he's coached, whether it ranges from Shaq and Kobe, Tracy McGrady, Kevin Garnett, yourself, obviously, Perk. I mean, there's so many, LeBron, we talk about all the time, but there's so many different playing styles that he has been able to sort of be part of. He's definitely a scribble on the back of a napkin, plays on the back of a napkin guy. I've seen him do that. He loves tinkering so much. I've had guys say to me, I think he's making changes just to make changes, because he is so interested in the game and the mechanics of how it works. So I am always excited excited when he gets sort of at the helm of something to see what he does with it. He's going to take the Clippers out for a spin, and we're going to see just how much they got under the hood. All right, coming up, Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets. He's going to be joining us to discuss his recovery from coronavirus and new head coach Steve Nash. Also, his expectations for next season with a healthy Kevin Durant. I don't know if you heard KD's coming back. All right, yeah. First, though, it's time for our Distant Replay featuring a ridiculous play by Tyson Chandler in a 2004 preseason game.
Left-handed, now another one right-handed by Chandler.
Wow. 2:02 left here in the third.
If my dog says so, then it's so.
Ballin', ballin', yeah, I'm ballin'. It's nothing, nothing. I do it often. Walk like I'm talking. Better thought, yeah, I'm ballin', ballin', yeah, I'm ballin'.
Oh, yeah, the man can score the basketball. We are now joined by Brooklyn Net bon vivant, man about town, tech genius, Spencer Dinwiddie. Thank you so much for joining us on behalf of your new app called Calyxy for influencers and athletes. Clearly, I'm neither one of those things because I can't even pronounce it. We got Perk with us, who is both an influencer and an athlete, however, so you can sell him your venture. Give us the pitch.
Oh, man. Obviously, we're the crown jewel of the system. You know, we have likeness intellectual property. We come out every time and put our artwork on the floor. And so people are drawn to us and want to be around us. And it's all about, you know, whatever's special to you, involving the fans and letting them interact with you more personally.
I like that. All right. Well, we will be watching to see how that does. I do want to catch up after your last few months, though, Spencer, because back in July, after a second positive coronavirus test, you were forced to sit out the remainder of the season and the playoffs. And it was just so notable because, first of all, you had so clearly wanted to come join your team even after your first positive test. But you mentioned that you were experiencing symptoms related to the diagnosis. So how has your recovery been? What has it been like for you, not only health-wise, but then watching your team through the bubble?
It was an interesting situation. Obviously, they were part of history, and it was something that I truly missed and wanted to be a part of. The way coronavirus hit me was like a flu, but just kind of for an extended period of time. So it was an interesting experience. Right now, obviously, we're months and months removed, so I'm perfectly fine now and back to hooping and getting in shape and doing what I love to do. But, you know, it was unfortunate that I wasn't able to play.
Hey, Spencer, Zach Lowe, I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. The Steve Nash news hit the media like a bombshell kind of out of nowhere. I'm wondering when you, as sort of a key player, now a long-term player for the Nets, when you heard that Steve was a candidate for the job, and what was your reaction when he got it?
I wasn't really involved in those conversations. Obviously, I'm thrilled that he is. You know, his basketball acumen is second to none. Multi-time MVP, one of the greatest point guards of all time. You know, somebody that you can learn a ton from and be in a position I'm in. He also kind of had a career where he played some of his best basketball late. So, you know, just a career arc and career path that I would love to follow. So, you know, it's a match made in heaven for me personally. I think for our team, it's great. He has a great relationship with KD and Kyrie, which is extremely important because they're the guys on our team. But yeah, I wasn't involved in the decision, so I was just as surprised as everybody.
How did you hear, Spence?
You know, all the pundits, they break the news, right? So Woj and Shams break news, and you kind of just, you know, it's law once they say it.
I love it. I love it. It's just like us. Basketballs are people, too, hearing on their phone.
Hey, Spencer, what's up, my brother? Hey, look, I'm a big fan, but I have a question. With a healthy KD, a healthy Kyrie, on paper, y'all are a contender team. I want to talk about you, a 27-year-old stud just scratching the surface of his prime. I'm a big fan of yours. I believe that you're a starter in this league. I want you to talk about your role going into next season and what you see yourself doing and fitting into this team with the Brooklyn Nets and what your plans are for us contributing on the court.
I mean, obviously, we don't know who's going to start and who's going to come off the bench as of right now. And that's KD and Kyrie excluded, of course. But really, when all this was being formed, I viewed myself if we were going to take the Golden State model as kind of the Draymond Green, the glue. Sometimes I get 10 boards, sometimes I get 10 assists. Sometimes I scored a little bit more, whatever it is, because obviously we have a super dynamic point guard, and we also have, the greatest scorer of all time. So, that's kind of how I always viewed myself when it was being, talked about and put together. So, I would be blessed to have that role this year and try to win a championship.
Hey, Spencer, it's Zach again. There's a lot of questions right now about the Clippers and who's the loudest voice in the locker room, who's going to be their leader. I'm curious for you guys, Kyrie missed a lot of the season, KD missed the whole season. Do you have a sense of who's going to be the personality in your locker room, who's going to galvanize the team in stressful moments, or is that kind of stuff overrated? Do you actually need a guy who's sort of the vocal guy?
Sometimes we get too hung up on words, so I don't know if it's about that necessarily. I mean, obviously we have Steve Nash and Jacques Vaughn manning the helm, and they're going to use their words plenty, and they're accomplished basketball players and former NBA guys, obviously, in their own right. And then, we have two guys that have won it championships before and been there. And then we also have an emotional leader in DeAndre Jordan. So, I think the collective, if you look at those five, there's enough experience there, enough basketball IQ, enough winning capacity there to lead the group.
Well, that was a very politic and polished answer. I would expect nothing less from you, Spencer. I do want to point out that while you're giving KD props as the greatest scorer of all time, that's still Kareem until further notice. I'm just going to say that on this show. But I appreciate the fact that you're so supportive of your teammates, and I think that's awesome and speaks to kind of the spirit you guys have. I'm not going to let you off the screen here, though, without playing America's favorite game. What were you thinking, Spencer Dinwiddie? You tell us what was going through your mind during these moments. First question, what were you thinking when you posterized Tobias Harris because you had some serious bounce on this dunk and your teammates really got into it too?
I think on the play before I got fouled, and so they didn't call it, so I was mad. And because I don't dunk much, but then I do have a 40, so I had to kind of pull it out. And then also with Tobias, he's my former teammate. So I was like, hey, on your head, big dog, on your head.
Did you get any reaction from him?
Nah, he laughed. I mean, that's my guy, so it's fun.
I like it when you throw out the vertical. I like it. Next up, I need to know, what were you thinking when you purposely missed free throws so Atlanta fans could have free chicken? Because this was a moment of dedication to the fan base, Spencer. Chick-fil-A had that promotion. If a visiting player misses two free throws in a row in the fourth quarter, everyone gets Chick-fil-A. What made you so charitable that night?
We were winning. I was in a good mood. And then it was just like, hey, whatever. if I miss a shot long, I probably intended to, because I never miss shots long. So,
man of the people.
I said, here y'all go.
I'm telling you, this is love and a generosity of spirit, really, to the opposing fans. And I think that cannot be overlooked. And that maybe when you next go to Atlanta, they should just hold up signs of chickens and out of respect for you. And I'm just saying. Last one I want to know, what were you thinking when you launched this shot with 14 seconds left on the shot clock? You're a great shooter. So what were you thinking when the shot left your hand here?
Oh, no.
Because it was not pretty, Spencer. No,
that was going to be a lob. That was a shot that turned to a lob.
Where?
No, look at the trajectory. Watch. I go up to get ready to shoot, and then I get ready to throw the lob. But Jared, miscommunication. That's all on me.
I believe it.
I'm just saying that, on your career highlight reel, the chicken will be on there. The chicken will definitely be on there, and that may not be. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with Galaxy. Please come back soon. We always love hanging out and talking to you. You got a lot of excitement coming on that team next season. We can't wait to watch it unfold. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Up next, guys, we are going to discuss which new coach is under more pressure next season, Doc Rivers with the 76ers or Ty Lue with the Clippers. Think of your answer. Keep it locked to find out what Zach and Perk think.
Throughout the highs, throughout the lows, you stay even keel, stay in the moment.
What's left right now?
Nothing.
It's win to win for us.
He's got to be better in game six and close the series.
James goes to the rim once again, lays it up and in.
Trying to win himself another ring.
Oh, Rajon Rondo putting on a show.
Yeah, this game has completely gotten away from Miami.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect. I want my damn respect, too.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still here with Kendrick Perkins, Zach Lowe. We just saw a recap of LeBron and the Lakers winning the title. But LeBron apparently already moving on from his fourth title, because earlier this week he posted himself watching The Last Dance with the caption, "Back at it, doing my homework." Now, while he's learning from Michael Jordan, others are apparently busy comparing them to each other, because former Warriors forward Mo Spates posting a meme with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan that included this text: "Back then, we used to celebrate three-peats. Now kids are out here celebrating four titles in 10 tries and calling it greatness." Now, when Spates posted it, he wrote, "Just the messenger" on top, which, I mean, Mo, you know how much I like you, so as a media advisor, I would say either back up what you're posting or don't post it. That is number one. And number two, that meme implies that LeBron got his finals appearances out of a cereal box or something, and then just didn't do enough with them. For a decade, this man has been in the finals every year but the one he got hurt. And if you are still out there pretending that is not an accomplishment in itself, that says more about you than it does about MJ or LeBron. Perk, I should note the tweet is no longer on Mo's page, but do you think him posting this in the first place is fair or foul?
It's foul, and here's why, right? Everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but if you're going to post something, like you said, Rachel, stand behind it. Don't say "just the messenger," because it's coming from your page.
Mm-hmm.
You are sending this. This coming from you. So, you know, back in the old school days, my grandpa and grandma used to say, "Don't throw stones and hide your hand," and that's exactly what he was doing with that post. Own up to it. Stand behind your guns, because 30 minutes later, he made his account private when the LeBron fans got on him, and then he started backpedaling. It's okay. If you're going to speak on something, stand behind it. But to another point that you were saying, look, I understand how championships are praised, and they should be, but this is a team sport. This is not like boxing. This is not like tennis. This is not like golf, where championships define all of your legacy. This is a team sport, and it's a mixture of everything. Individual accolades, team accolades, everything. LeBron went to the finals over 58% of his career. He's been in the finals.
That's
an accomplishment in itself. But, I mean, like, that's insane. And we're not going to take away from that. So at the end of the day, it was foul. And the reason I say it was foul, because, you know, I feel like this, Rachel and Zach. Everyone loves fruit. Some people love to eat bananas. Some people love to eat apples. Some people love to eat grapes. At the end of the day, they're all great and they're all good for you. So it's your preference. But if you're going to tweak something, stand behind it. Don't just say "just the messenger." I might as well start tweeting like that. Zach, you also, Rachel, you should start tweeting like that. "I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger." Come on, man.
That was a lot of fruit in Perk's answer. A lot of different kinds of fruits got involved there. Look, Mo Spates, I love watching you play. I love a good Mo bucket streak. I just don't. 10 straight finals is 10 straight finals. A bunch of them were against the Warriors, including when they had Durant. They were unbeatable. Like, it's kind of unassailable. Can I just point one thing out? I just want to point one thing out very gently and very politely. Is whenever the media asks LeBron about the Jordan stuff, he kind of poo-poos it and says, "Oh, that's you guys. I'll leave that to you guys." And then right after he wins the championship, he Instagrams himself watching The Last Dance. Like, what are we even doing here? Why are we pretending like, oh, it's the media. It's just the media that talks about it. Let me just post something else about MJ on social media.
Zach, what do you think when he says, "I'm doing my homework"? There's not like basketball X and O breakdowns in The Last Dance. It is not Kobe Bryant's details. So what was the homework? Was he talking about how I should run things and what could be one of my last seasons? Was he talking about how to craft and package an image over a 10-part documentary? What was the homework?
I got two things. Number one, I hope the Lakers next season don't have the equivalent of a Scotty Burrell. I wonder if LeBron's trying to sharpen his trash talk, if he's got one teammate already picked out. Number two, maybe he knows, maybe he realizes that Jordan just looks cooler smoking a cigar than he does, and he's trying to pick up some cigar-smoking tips for the next time. No, no, but LeBron looked really cool with the smoke going over his head. But Jordan with the cigar and the baseball bat in the last dance. I mean, it's just like, I think there's...
Yeah.
There's tips in there for him.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm sure he can, you know, you win a title. It means never having to say you're sorry, and you can watch anything you want on TV. All right, we spoke about the Clippers at the top of the show, but let's talk about the two guys that were together on the bench last season, Ty Lue and Doc Rivers. While Doc has moved on to Philly, Ty taking over for him in L.A., Zach, which coach do you think is under more pressure this next coming season? Ty with the Clippers or Doc in Philly?
I think it's clearly Ty Lue with the Clippers. And it's not so much like anyone's job is at stake or anything. I mean, these guys are first-year coaches, long-term deals, tons of money. Like, they're fine either way. But I think the expectations for the Sixers should probably be reset a little bit lower after what a disastrous end of the season they had this year. Whereas the expectations for the Clippers are still enormous. And as of right now, we'll see what happens this summer. But as of right now, both of their stars can be free agents after next season. Almost the opposite is true in Philly. Embiid and Simmons are locked up long term. So there's just so much riding on next year for the Clippers that it just has to be Ty Lue by default.
Oh, look, I'm with you, Zach. The pressure is on Ty Lue. And, Rachel, you know how I've been lobbying for Ty Lue to get a job, and I'm happy that he got it. But the pressure is on him and the Los Angeles Clippers for a lot of reasons. One, it's championship or bust. It's no more excuses for them. Two, they're in the same town as the Los Angeles Lakers, and we all know how that rivalry is, especially right now. All the noise talking you see going back and forth on the internet, all the celebrities that are going back and forth. And then on top of that, let's not forget that Ty Lue turned down the Los Angeles Lakers job last year because he didn't get enough years and enough money and then took a lesser role with the Clippers. Now all of a sudden he's the Clippers head coach right across town from the rivalry of the Los Angeles Lakers, and it's championship or bust, and there's no other way around it.
Yeah, not even across town, down the hallway. I mean, it's right there in front of his face, in front of everyone's face. Right. Zach, I do want to ask you a little bit more about the Philly job. I agree with you that the expectations are higher in L.A., but the task in some ways in Philadelphia is a little bit harder with the personnel that they have there right now. They've just been shedding shooters over the past few seasons, and we've seen the effect on Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons trying to play together. And the numbers, I mean, you know, you're much more versed in this than I do about how much flexibility they have in tradable parts over the next season and over what they can do in this offseason. How much pressure is there on Doc to make the pieces that he has in front of them work?
I think it's one of the hardest and most interesting tasks in the league, frankly. I mean, the offense last year with Simmons and Embiid was not very good. It was better when Al Horford was coming off the bench. And I think that's the name we're going to hear a lot in trade rumors is can they somehow shift Al Horford somewhere else and get pieces that fit around them better? But it's going to be tough to move.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that they're locked into that deal, what they already gave up for Tobias Harris. It is interesting. They definitely need to make some tinkering and changes on the roster. I don't know how much they're going to be able to, and I think that the problem that presents for Doc Rivers is it's significant, and I'm interested to see what he does with it because we know he's very good. All right, here's what The Jump recommends today. Hey, look, it's Zach Lowe. He wrote a piece on how former Rockets general manager Daryl Morey challenged the NBA norms with his approach to the office. It is still weird to say former GM Daryl Morey. I'm not used to that yet. But check out the piece because in the next segment, we will be discussing Morey's legacy with the Rockets. We're giving you all the answers in advance of the test. The Jump will be right back. Tomorrow, the 11th-ranked Aggies are in Starkville to take on Mississippi State's Air Raid offense, 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. We have a lightweight unification bout tomorrow night, a 12-round main event in Las Vegas. Our coverage begins at 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, Deportes, and the app as well. And available now on ESPN.com, Zach Lowe's excellent piece on the impact Daryl Morey had on the NBA at large, the way he challenged norms. Morey took over as Rockets GM in 2007 and since then was a leader for change that has created a large part of what the NBA is today. So, Zach, what would you say is Morey's legacy with the Rockets?
Number one, the rise of the three-pointer as the dominant shot in the NBA. He's one of the three or four people most responsible for that. Like it or hate it, that's his encore legacy. For the Rockets, it's the James Harden trade. To acquire all the draft picks it took to make that trade without tanking, because he had a mandate to not tank when Yao and Tracy McGrady started breaking down, it would be the crowning achievement for a lot of general managers. It's an all-time great trade. And then once you get James Harden, it doesn't matter if the Warriors get Kevin Durant. It doesn't matter if they seem unbeatable. You go all in to try to win. You're not afraid. You don't wait them out. And he used every resource at his disposal to try to make the best team he could during James Harden's prime. And in 2018, they got damn close.
I agree. Look, I live down here in Houston. And Daryl Morey gave the Houston Rockets and the city of Houston life. Like, when he made that trade for James Harden, all of a sudden, a couple years later, they were contenders. They weren't even talked about. So I'm looking at Daryl Morey, and in my opinion, he set the bar for a lot of GMs because he was aggressive, he was fearless, he wanted to win, and he was in the moment. And I love how aggressive he was in trades to try to make it happen. When you look at his resume, especially over the last 5 or 6 years, about four of those teams that they lost to, all of them went on to win the title. So that says to me that he was actually doing something right. He went against some powerhouses in the Golden State Warriors. And then this year against the Los Angeles Lakers, against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I think in the future, Daryl Morey would get another job. He deserves another job. I'm mad that he left the Houston Rockets organization because he's a hell of a general manager.
Yeah, executive of the year in the past. And look, he is really one of the lead voices in bringing analytics into the NBA and the rise of the integration of that into front offices. And certainly some people think that has gone too far. But there is no doubt that having more information, more tools at your disposal makes you a better franchise. That is just a fact. And the fact that he just really brought about so much creative thinking, I think that spread across the league as well, that sports in general is a place where people look to what's been successful in the past. It's a bit of a copycat league, the NBA. And Daryl Morey really spurred the idea of, I don't really care what everyone else did. What can we do? What fits our personnel? What's going to make us the best? And I think that that is going to be a big part of his legacy as well. The NBA has been better for having Daryl Morey in it for as long as he's been in it. I love the idea that he wants to take a year off maybe and spend some time with his family and just kind of recharge after what was the longest and most difficult basketball season for both him, the Rockets, and possibly the rest of the league. But I do hope that he comes back because, again, the NBA is a better place when Daryl Morey is around. Of course, the Rockets are going to have to move forward without him, so I want to look at that as well, guys. Three-point shooting, ISO heavy. It has been a distinct brand of basketball. You can see such a big jump in the Rockets' three-point shooting from the 2016 season, 2017. Incremental increases each subsequent season. Rockets had four of the five highest three-point attempts seasons in NBA history over just the last four seasons. Perk, do you think now with the GM gone, with the coach gone, the Rockets' style of play is going to significantly change because the personnel is still the personnel?
Right, and I think they're still going to play small, but just them focusing on shooting three-pointers and getting layups, that's going to change, and they're going to have to realize that the mid-range is still there and it's still alive, and you need that to win the championship. And I'm also looking at it that you do need to add in a big man that could protect the rim. If you look at all the championship teams throughout the history of the NBA, they had a rim protector. And I know Dwight Howard left the Houston Rockets on bad terms. He also left the Los Angeles Lakers on bad terms and had the chance to make it up to him, and he did just that. If I'm the Houston Rockets, I'm looking at Dwight Howard, and I'm saying, I might want to consider picking him up in the offseason. He's low risk for high reward. He's still one of the most athletic bigs in the game today. He still can anchor a defense, and you could get him, and I think he will improve that team dramatically.
Zach, Perk has been banging this drum all week about Dwight Howard. Zach, I was asking Perk on Tuesday, I think, does he want Dwight to do a whole redemption tour of all of his former teams? Because it would take a while. Do you think that that's a smart pickup for him? for them or someone that they should go after?
I don't know if James is ready to have Dwight back, but I agree with Perk. I think they will get a center. I don't know that they'll get a starting center, but I think they're going to have a rim-running, shot-blocking center in their rotation next year. Tim McMahon from ESPN has mentioned Nerlens Noel as a possible target. But stylistically, I still think they're going to play Morey ball. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to ISO a lot. And they've gotten pretty far that way. To me, the biggest question facing them is not only their defense, but offensively, James Harden has to be a threat when he doesn't have the ball. He can't just pass the ball and stand near half court and wait for the possession to end. Perk has talked about that a lot. They need to just be a little bit more dynamic late in games against great, great defenses. We haven't seen enough of that. We haven't seen a lot of great big games like that from James when the chips are really down. So, you know, and next year, look, the window's getting a little narrower for them. James and Russ are getting older. They don't have a lot of cap flexibility, and the West is going to be absolutely loaded next year. Like, the window's getting a little smaller.
Yeah, and when you look beyond that, you then start to have years with no picks, right? Or the pick swaps or the picks that they've given away. So there's a lot of win now going on in Houston. Also in Houston, just really tough news yesterday. Longtime Houston Rockets scout B.J. Johnson died tragically in a bicycle accident at the age of 65.
Wow.
Johnson had been with the Rockets since their 95 championship season. The franchise released a statement which reads in part, quote, B.J. was beloved and respected not only throughout the Rockets organization, but across the league and the basketball world. And that is true. Daryl Morey added, before I came to the Rockets, Chris Wallace told me the greatest scout in the NBA was B.J. Johnson, and I should talk to him first. I followed his advice, and what followed was an amazing 14-year friendship. He was by my side for every key decision. I can't believe he is gone. And Jamal Crawford shared, no, not B.J. Johnson. He said, when I was an unproven rookie, he helped me get a lot of the confidence that I had a bright future, even when I didn't see it, Jamal wrote. He said, I wasn't even on his team. He always had some words of encouragement or just kept it real with me. Prayers to his family. His family. Johnson is survived by his wife, Claudette, his son, Bijan, and two stepchildren, Michael Mitchell and Sierra Brown. Claudette summed up her late husband perfectly in the statement to the Houston Chronicle, quote, BJ was always true to himself. He never met a stranger, never. He never shut his mouth. He talked forever. Everybody was family to him. It wasn't about the game. It was about loving the game, which he did with all his heart. He loved the game of basketball, loved his job. That is beautiful and such a tragic loss. We send out deepest condolences to his family, to the Rockets organization, and all of his friends inside and outside of the game of basketball. BJ, you will be missed. We'll be right back. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Happy birthday to Sue Bird, who turns 40 today. Let me remind you that Sue just won her fourth WNBA title with the Storm. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson wore her jersey to his game. And after throwing a game-winning touchdown, he said he didn't feel like Michael Jordan. He said he felt like Sue Bird in the clutch. Bird has won a title at every level she has played. Perk, you're 35 years old right now. How hard is it to play basketball, let alone win a title right before turning 40?
Oh, it's extremely hard. Rachel, look, like you said, I'm 35 and I'm sitting right here in front of the camera living my next life and doing my next career. And here she is still playing at an extremely high level. She's 5 years older than me. That's GOAT status right there.
Sue is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Wins everything. It's actually kind of obnoxious how much she wins, frankly.
It is. And she's so nice. And she's so smart. And she's so funny. Oh, and she's gotten into management also, working with the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, it's just a shame she hasn't accomplished anything. All right, let's talk about Rick Carlisle and Rajon Rondo. Both were on TikTok dancing with their daughters, which was very sweet. If you could have given me 1,000 guesses before I had gotten to Rick Carlisle dancing on TikTok, but I don't know, maybe this means they're finally on the same page. What do you think?
I'm disappointed in Rick Carlisle. TikTok, Rick Carlisle?
What? Why are you disappointed?
The serious head coach. Am I supposed to get on TikTok? No, we all have to be on TikTok.
If your daughter wanted you on TikTok to spend time with her doing something fun, you would do it, Zach. Come on.
No, we're drawing lines. We're drawing lines in the low house. No TikTok.
Zach, look, I'm telling you, Rachel, I would pay big money to see Zach on TikTok dancing.
No
That's
way.
All I'm going to say about this. I would pay big money to see that.
Zach fought a 2-year battle against Snapchat and Instagram, and he lost that battle, I would like to say.
And I won. I won.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not on Instagram now, Zach? And by the way, Zach is on Instagram. He just doesn't talk about it that much. But you can find him on there. Take a look. TikTok is coming for you.
Never posted. Never posted.
Just saying. Speaking of social media, the Denver Nuggets official team Twitter account sent out this graphic today asking whose fans' favorite all-time player for the franchise was. Guess who's not in the post? That would be Carmelo Anthony, the third leading scorer in franchise history. Perk, how do you explain leaving Melo off here?
You can explain it. It's unexcusable, and whoever's running that account is wrong for that. Melo gave some wonderful years to the Denver Nuggets franchise, and they got to show a little bit more respect than what they do when it comes down to Carmelo Anthony.
And he was the leading scorer and probably best player on the team the last time they made the conference finals before this year. I guess there's still some resentment in the organization about him demanding a trade and basically picking his destination, even though they came out pretty darn well in that trade. So it's a little strange.
Can you say they did well in the trade? It was a very long time ago, several teams ago. You just made it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think the petty looks good, and I normally like some petty. I really do. But this come on. I think you can do better, Denver Nuggets. I believe in you. I believe you can be better about this, and you got to include Melo when you're talking about, you know, good players the team has had. I'm just saying. Before we go,
absolutely,
I want to acknowledge a member of our staff who is leaving us, which is very hard for me and everyone else here because he is incredible. Tucker, Tucky T as we call him, has been with our staff since the jump started in 2016. He is moving on to work for Granity Studios, which is a company founded by, of course, the late, great Kobe Bryant. As a lifelong Lakers fan, Tucker achieving yet another of his dreams by getting to uphold the legacy of one of his favorite players. And I want to take you back, a look at some of Tucker's best moments on the jump over the years.
Tucker is leaving us. We're very sad, but happy for him.
Yay. Thank you.
Our producer Tucker is on the scene where there are Lakers fans protesting outside the building today. Take it away.
Thanks, Rachel. Look, we're here live down right next to the Staples Center. You can see these Lakers fans are actually protesting. This is a real thing happening right now.
For sure. Laker Dave. Got to hit Lakers.
Laker Dave.
Sure.
As you can see, the tension's almost palpable.
Lakers. Lakers.
You love to see that. Yeah, we got to go.
Right.
We got to go. We got a minute. Let's go.
About to start.
Look, they're mad, they're angry, they got Thunder sticks. There's a Clipper fan here, there's a Suns fan here.
Producer Tucker, come on, give it up. So Kawhi Leonard has been giving out...
From Staples Center, I'm Tucker Tashin, ESPN.
Oh, although I will say they're mad they've got Thunder sticks is really... Tucker, come on out here. Come on out here. They're mad they've got Thunder sticks. It's going to be the report of all time. Tucker, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Really, really appreciate all of the work you've done here. I can't thank you. It's like not even close
to
enough. What would you say is your favorite moment from your jump tenure?
For sure, going on the road to the finals with you guys. It has been an incredible job. So much fun. I just wanted to thank you for being such an awesome boss and working on my favorite show. It's been incredible. And you're the hardest worker I've ever met, so it's incredible. It's been a blast, but thank you to you. Thank you to everybody in the control room, everyone at home. It's been a blast, and I'm going to miss you guys all very much.
Well, that's incredibly kind. We will, I mean,
and
everyone.
Also, it's a happy early birthday.
Well, thank you for that. My birthday is this weekend. I appreciate that, Tucker. You're still producing, even
still producing
today.
Never stops.
You're still producing.
Nope.
It's amazing. You guys out there always hear me shouting out our producers, naming them, because we literally could not do anything without you guys, and I do not know how we're going to move forward without you, Tucker. Right, Perk? Right, Zach?
This is just a beautiful moment for the jump right now. I'll tell you, this is a beautiful moment.
I love it. I want to thank Tucker for everything. I want to shout out, by the way, NBA
Congrats,
Desktop
Tucker.
On The Ringer is ending. So I want to shout out them
Happy
because
birthday,
they've been an
Ray
awesome
Ray.
Contribution to our NBA universe. Tucker, we will miss you. Everyone else, we'll see you on Monday.